Tonight, even though we can't, God can. Even though we don't know how, we don't know when, and we know we're unable, God can. Amen. We're thankful for that tonight. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight back in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Back into the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And we find a story, a very disturbing story here in Leviticus chapters 9 and 10. We're going to begin reading in verse chapter number 9 and read down into verse number 10. So turn to the end of chapter 9 as you're turning. And as we do turn this, we understand that the things that are written in the Old Testament are written to the Jewish people, and they're written for their instruction, for their admonition, but they're still good for application for us in our Christian walk and in our life of God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's a God that changes not, and His holiness is just as real today as it was in the days of the children of Israel as they were starting to learn how to worship God and how to follow His precepts and to do the things that He said. Those things are there, Paul said, for our instruction, for our help, and to teach us and to show us the things that we need to see. And as we look here, we're going to begin reading in chapter 9 and verse number 22 and down to chapter 10, verse number 7. But the Bible says in Leviticus 9:22, "And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. And he commanded them not. And there went out a fire, there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured him, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses." Let's go one more time to the Lord in prayer, if you would. Father, thank you for this word tonight and for its help and for all that it gives us and applies to us in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have desired to do and that you're going to do. And we pray, Lord, tonight that as we come before you and as we seek your guidance and your direction and your instruction from these words tonight, that we would do so in a manner that's pleasing unto you. Help us now, God, to honor you in all that we do, and help us, God, just to please you in everything that we do. And we thank you for what we know you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Now, I want you to understand something. God is a holy God. And sometimes we get so comfortable that we forget who God is. And we forget that He's to be worshipped the right way. We forget that He demands and He requires us to worship Him the right way. And when we do it the wrong way, it causes confusion. When we do it the wrong way, it hinders and hurts and causes great pain. And here we have two young men who decided to worship God their way. They decided to do it their way. They decided to do it according to what they understood and what they thought and what they felt was right. You know, feelings are a good thing, but our feelings, we got to be careful that we don't let our feelings get us out of the realm of God's Word. Feelings are a good thing, but we're not saved by feelings. Some folks say, well, I don't feel saved, or I feel like I am saved. Be assured of this, we're not saved by our feelings one way or the other. I'm glad that I know I'm saved, amen? And I'm glad I can be confident in salvation because of what does say it, the Word of God. But we need to be careful that we don't act upon our feelings because sometimes our feelings are directed by a corrupt and an evil heart. Here we have two young men who have had privilege and opportunity to be accounted, to be a part of the family that will make up the priesthood and will honor God in their service unto Him. We know that as we've come to this point, if you've been are familiar with the account, everything has been made ready. God gave Moses the instruction for everything that was in place here to worship Him. The tabernacle was built according to God's plan and God's design. All the instruments and all the furnishing and all the tools for ministering were made and were fashioned according to God's plan. We see that as they have come here today, the priests have already been consecrated the day before this. Moses brought Aaron and his sons to the tabernacle, and he offered a sacrifice as God had commanded, and he placed a blood on the right ear, on the right thumb, on the right big toe, and he done all these things, and he placed the anointing oil upon them, and they were consecrated unto God for a purpose to serve Him in the tabernacle. We need to understand that everything has been taken care of. Everything has been put in play and put in place according to the Word of God. They've been instructed on what to do. We've come to this day. The offerings have been made. The sin offering, the offering of consecration, the offering of peace. These things have all been made. These three offerings have already been laid out and have already been put in place. And God is accepting these offerings. The fire has come out from God to accept the peace offering on the altar as it lay. He's accepted the sin offering. He's accepted all the offerings, the meat offering, the consecration, everything that they've been commanded to do, they have done. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. They went into the sanctuary and did what they were supposed to do and what God had instructed them to be done there. And when they come out, the Shekinah glory of God shone round about them, and all the people seen it. And I was reading a commentary by a preacher once here not long ago on this. And he said, well, sometimes people worship wrong. I was in a church where people say amen, and that's just wrong. They shouldn't do that. They should be quiet in the church. Well, the people shouted, and God wasn't displeased with the shouting of the people. Amen. He said, people raise their hands, and people will get up, and they'll do things. Well, that's all right if God's in it. Amen. You go right ahead and do it. There's nothing wrong with it. The people here, they fell on their face before God, and they shouted, and they fell on their face. You know, there's nothing wrong with worshiping God when we do it in the right heart and we do it for the right reasons. When they seen the glory of God, when they witnessed the power of God as He consumed the offering, when they realized that the God who had instructed them, the God who had been leading them, the God who had been feeding them, was now actually so real to them, more than He had ever been in their presence, and the fire came out from Him. Before to them, God had been the fire, a cloud cloud of fire or just a pillar of a cloud, and that's all God had been. But now God had reached out and he had taken the offering that had been offered, and it stirred the people's heart. And I want you to know something. When God reaches down from the glory world into this world and touches our hearts in the worship service, it's enough sometimes to make you want to shout. It's enough sometimes to make you want to stand up and raise your hands and cry aloud, amen, and glory to God, and just get happy and all excited in the Lord. But I want you to know something. There's sometimes we can get in ourselves, and if we're not careful, we can be a hindrance to the service. Nadab and Abihu, if you go back into Exodus chapter number 24, verses 9 through 11, the Bible gives the account of Nadab and Abihu and Aaron and Moses and the rest of the sons of Aaron and 70 elders of Israel going with Moses into the mount. And the Bible says that they saw God. I want you to get that. Now, God told Moses. Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." God says, "Look, no man can see my face and live." They saw God. I don't believe they saw the face of God, but I believe they saw the Shekinah glory of God, that they were in the presence of God, and they had no doubt that they had saw God, and not only did they see God, but they were able to be fed and eat and take a meal in his very presence. Oh man, what glory it is when we come to the house of God and we feast in his presence. Amen. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name," he said, "I'll be in the midst." How good it is when he shows up and we feast from his word, when he feeds us from his table, and he pours out that sweet manna upon our lives, and it just stirs our heart. Nadab and Abihu had been there. They had seen that, and they had experienced that. And now they were like so many people get. They wanted to do it their own way, just to show everybody how much they had a special relationship with God. The Bible says in chapter 10, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." Sometimes we get all wrapped up in ourselves and we start doing things and we do it the wrong way. Amen. God didn't command that. God didn't instruct for him to do that. God was a blessing, and God was a stirring, and God was a moving, but that wasn't good enough for them. They began to try to do things their own way. God had commanded them not. It wasn't a fire acceptable unto God. It was strange fire. Sometimes we get in ourselves, and if you get in yourselves and shout so everybody can see you, that's strange fire. If God is in it, it's the sweetest thing in the world. I've seen people try to do things in themselves and because of themselves and to bring honor and glory to themselves, and it just deadens, it just kills service, it kills the spirit. I've seen things happen right here in our church that have killed a meeting, killed a service, because somebody got in themselves, somebody got into their own way. When we do it the wrong way, we'll hinder what God wants to do every time. When we do it the wrong way, we'll bring a reproach from God. You talk about killing a service. You let somebody get in their self, and you can just sometimes just feel the Spirit of God just leave the building. Just leave the place. When he was moving and he was stirring and he was doing great things. You know, the Bible tells us how we got to do it the right way. How we can only come unto God. We can only come before his presence the way that he tells us to. We can only worship him the way that he tells us to. And that's what Nadab and Abihu messed up in. They got things out of kilter and they started doing it their own way. God tells us in his word in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Aren't you glad that we got promises in God's word that have been given unto us and that are specific to His church, that they are addressed directly to His church. And we can have boldness to enter into the throne room of God. We can have boldness to do great things. We can look at Him and we can reverence Him and fear the Lord and godly reverence and godly fear and know who He is and why we should fear and reverence Him. And we can be familiar with Him. The Bible says we can call Him Abba Father. That means that would translate to the difference between saying you're my father or you're my daddy. Amen. It would translate to an endearing term, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we lose sight of who He is, when we lose sight of the reason we have this access, we have this privilege, we're on dangerous ground. And we need never forget that the only reason that we can come before the Father the way we do is because Jesus has made a way for us to do it. And as a matter of fact, even in our worship, the only way we can do it is because of Christ and the access that He's made for us to come before the glory of God. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. It says, by Him therefore. Now, you know I quote the scripture a lot, but I always quote the other part down here about why we should worship. He says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, we're to be vocal. We're to be we're to be to where people have no doubt. The fruit of our lips ought to speak. But the only reason that we can do that, the only reason that we have the privilege and the honor of offering the sacrifice of praise to God is because of Him. Because of Jesus. What do I have to praise God for in and of myself? I have nothing. I am nothing. And I can bring nothing to Him, but I can praise Him for His Son. I can praise Him because of what His Son has done. I can praise Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His grace that He's bestowed upon me through and by the blood of Jesus. I have hope. God is the reason we worship, but He's also the means to our worship. In John chapter 4, as Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, He says, you worship what you know not. Amen. Some people are trying to worship what they don't know and trying to worship how they don't know to worship. Amen. Not only do they not know what they worship, they don't even know how to worship. But God tells us in His Word in John 4, 23 and 24, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our friend, I want you to know something. When you come into the house of God, and you come into the presence of God, and you come to worship God, and you come in the wrong spirit, you'll never worship God the right way. Amen. God's a spirit. If we're going to worship Him, we're going to do it in the spirit. And the only way we can do it in the spirit is if we do it truthfully in the spirit. And sometimes we got to deal with our sin. A lot of times we don't want to deal with the sin that's in our life. We worry about everybody else's sin, but we forget about our sin, and we don't get it under the blood. We don't get it taken care of. We don't get it out of the way so it's not a hindrance. He said we got to come in spirit and in truth. Amen. The only way that I can come before the Lord in truth is to confess my sins and to come with a right heart, earnestly, sincerely. And you know who knows my heart? Me and the Lord. Amen. You know who knows your heart? You and the Lord. And it's up to you to choose to worship God the right way. It's up to you to choose to get self out of the way. You see, Nadab and Abihu wasn't worried so much about God's way. They were worried about their way and what they wanted. We need to seek God's face continually. We need to seek God's direction. My prayer every time I pray and anything I pray is that God's will be done. Amen. I pray for God to touch people that have health issues and to bring healing according to His will. Lord, Your will be done. I pray for the needs and the things that I ask for prayer for. I want it to be according to God's will. Amen. And that's where we need to get. We need to be surrendered to God's will. And God's will sometimes isn't always an easy will to the flesh. But oh, how sweet it is to the spirit. Because the flesh sometimes has to give up some things to be in God's will. Let's do it the right way. They did it in the wrong way. They did it in the wrong place. I have people tell me all the time, well, I don't need to come to church. I can go out into the woods and I can just sit in nature and I can just worship God there. And sure you can, but do you? Sure you can, but have you? But that's not what God's word tells us to do. That's not what he's talking about. Psalm 122, verse 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. God made a specific place. He had a specific area for this worship to take care of. As a matter of fact, when they erected the tabernacle, they had to come to the tabernacle for basically anything that they wanted to do, any kind of judgment, any kind of slaughter. The tabernacle, it was not what everybody pictures it to be. It was a bloody, bloody place. If you was going to eat lamb chops tonight and you had to kill a lamb, you better bring it to the tabernacle or you would be guilty of the blood that was shed of that animal. It had to be slain. It had to be offered at the tabernacle. It had to be offered before God. Every blood, every drop of blood that was shed had to be offered before God. It was a bloody, bloody place. And some people, they don't want to come to the house of God because they don't want to hear about the blood. They don't want to hear about Jesus dying on the cross. They don't want to hear about themselves being a bunch of wretched sinners that need salvation. But God had a place and God prepared a place. It was to help them to see. It was a picture and a type of what was to come. But it was evidence unto them of where they stood with God. You see, there was an outer court and there was a fence around about it that was erected that separated the common man from God, that separated the common man from being able to enter. And everything and every step of the way, once you entered the gate of that tabernacle, drew you closer to God. And the closer you got to God, the more precious the things were made out of. The closer you got to God, the more holy and consecrated one had to be until once a year the high priest, whoever that was at the time, I was able to enter into the Holy of Holies, but not without blood, that he might apply the blood to the mercy seat. You see, God had a place to worship, and there was a reason for that place, because it helped man to see the separation that sin had brought, and to see what sin had did, but to understand that with the shedding of blood, there could be a remission of sin. With the shedding of blood, the sins had been forgiven for another year. With the shedding of blood, they had another opportunity to try to do what was right. But we understand and we know that under the law, no man and no flesh could be justified. And so God one day, in his infinite wisdom, before the foundations of the world, knew that he would have to send a more perfect sacrifice. And he sent his precious son to die on an old rugged cross, to shed his blood. His blood was poured out. Every drop of his blood was shed for the remission of sins once for all, that we would be able to have the everlasting, the eternal atonement, the propitiation for our sins paid in full. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You understand, God has a place for us to worship. There's a physical place to worship, but there's also a spiritual application to this as well. It's not a head knowledge. It's not something that we do from the head. It's something that we do from the heart. In Isaiah 57:15, God says he inhabits heaven. He's the high and the lofty one, but he's also to that one that has a humble and a contrite heart, a humble and a contrite spirit, one that is surrendered and one that is submitted, one that's not trying to worship from the head, but worships from the heart. There's a lot of Jews, Paul said, that are Jews in their head. There's a lot of Jews in their action, but there's a lot of them that aren't Jews from the heart. There's a lot of people today that claim to be Christian. They're Christian from the head, but they're not a Christian from the heart. Why is that? Because they've never surrendered their heart. They've never given their life to Jesus Christ, and they've never submitted themselves unto Him. We can't worship Him if we don't get Him in the right place. We can't worship Him if we don't get in the right frame of mind. We can't worship Him if we don't do it His way. We have access unto Him through Christ Jesus, and the only way that we're going to worship Him is to get our heart and our mind and our whole body, our whole being, in the right place and in the right frame of mind. You see Nadab and Abihu, they put fire in their censers. They put incense on their censers, but it wasn't what God had commanded. It wasn't from where God had commanded it. And praise God, it would never satisfy because they were trying to worship from a head knowledge instead of a heart knowledge. They were trying to worship on what they thought and what they felt and what they knew instead of what God had said. Their fire was insufficient. Their incense was insufficient. Everything that they did in their attempt to worship God was wrong. It was wrong. It was wrong. It was wrong from the outset when the first thought entered their mind to do this thing. They were before the sanctuary, and the incense was to be offered in the sanctuary. They hadn't done it according to what God had said and what God had planned. You know, you can be in the building and not be offering in the right way. You can have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge, and you're offering the wrong way. You're not doing it the way God planned. You're not doing it in the right place. You've got it in your mind that this is the way we should do it, and this is how it needs to be, and this is how we're going to worship. And you can be dead wrong no matter how much you shout, holler, hoop, and jump up and down. You can be wrong. Friend, what we need today is some people that want to get out of the head knowledge and out of the head worship and get back to heart worship. You know, it's the heart worship that changed things. It's the heart worship that made a difference in people's lives. It was the heart worship that caused people to call out to God, that He has heard their cries and He made a difference in their lives. Friend, we can worship the wrong way, we can worship in the wrong place, and we can worship for the wrong reason because we're in the wrong spirit. We got to be careful of our worship. And you know, folks are making a big deal out of being at church, and I'm glad we have a church. I'm glad God's given us a beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful meeting house to come to, a beautiful building. But sometimes we can't always be here. But worship doesn't have to happen here. Worship has to happen here. And you're at home right now. There's very few that are here with us tonight. You're at home. And you can show your family the right way to worship. You're at home, you can teach your children the right way to worship. That it's a matter of where the heart is instead of where the head is. Let God direct you. Let God speak to you. Let God lead you to the place. You can be here physically and be somewhere else mentally because you don't have your heart. You can be in the Word physically but be somewhere else mentally. I know it happens to me all the time. Trying to read the Word of God, and your mind starts wandering off here and there and everywhere. I don't know if anybody else has that problem or if it's just me because I'm getting old or what. But I've had that problem all my life. Amen? But it takes an effort to get a heart focused and to get a heart where it needs to be with the Lord. They did it in the wrong spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know how we give glory to God when we do things God's way? You know how we give all to the glory of God? When we completely submit ourselves unto God's way. Chapter 9, verse 23 says that the Shekinah glory of God appeared to all the people. Now, all means everybody. All means Nadab and Abihu. And then in verse 24, it says that when all the people saw it, they all shouted and fell on their faces to the ground. All but Nadab and Abihu. It said all. I believe Moses. I believe Aaron. I believe the other sons of Aaron. I believe the uncles and the cousins of Aaron. I believe the red-headed stepchildren that were there. I don't know. Whoever was there, the Bible says they all fell but two who refused to. Maybe they felt they were a little better than anybody else. Yeah, you ever been around somebody that feels they're above everyone else? Everybody needs to look up to them. That's a problem we have in America today with young people especially, is we're losing respect. You look in city transit and you see stuff and you see old people standing up and young people wouldn't even get up and give them a seat. You see ladies standing and gentlemen wouldn't give up and give them a seat. See, we've lost a moral fabric, and we've lost that moral fabric because we've lost the spiritual fabric. We've lost the realization that God is above us all, and God is to be feared. That don't mean a terrifying fear. That means a reverent fear. We realize that He is God. He is the creator of everything. He's the one that gives us a very breath. And the problem with people today, they become their own gods. They think they're above everybody else. Maybe they felt that because they were consecrated yesterday, today I'm better than anybody else, and I stand apart, and I stand a little bit different than everybody else, and I deserve a little more recognition. Well, Moses is on his face, as far as I can read from the Word of God, when it said all, they all fell except Nadab and Abihu. I believe Moses is on his face on the ground before God. He's a man that spent more time with God than Nadab and Abihu did, and he's on his face, but here they are. Well, we were consecrated yesterday. Aren't we special? Aren't we different? Don't we deserve something? I get sick of preachers. I read a lot of things from preachers, and I hear a lot of things about preachers that think that everybody owes them something. Oh, I'm sacrificing this. I'm doing this. And so that's between you and God. Amen. God called you to that. God's got a purpose for it. God will bless you for it. But they think everybody should bow down to them, that they're some kind of demigods that deserve men's recognition. It's an office. It's a position. It bears a lot of responsibility. I understand that. But when it gets down to it, I'm just a man, just like anybody else. Moses was just a man like anybody else. But Moses fell down and bowed himself before God. I don't know. They may have felt more entitled for some reason. I don't know. And what they did was they took something to bring glory to themselves. They wanted everybody to see them running around, dangling a censer with incense, offering unto the Lord. But they brought strange fire. It wasn't the fire from off of the altar. They couldn't approach the altar. The glory of God had then reached out. The Bible required the fire in the censer to be from off of the altar. It required that the incense that was used be only of that special incense that God had instructed Moses on how to make it.
But Nadab and Abihu didn't abide by that. It wasn't about honoring God. It wasn't about following God's word and God's instruction and God's direction. It was all about, look at me, honoring me. You know, when we come to church and it's more about us than it is about God, we need to come to church for us. Don't get me wrong. But I don't come to church for people to pat me on the back. I come to church to worship God, to honor the Lord. We can be in the right place and do things the wrong way. We can be in the right place, but in the wrong place. We can be in the right place, but in the wrong spirit. We got to guard ourselves when we come to worship God. And remember who it is that worship's all about. We don't come here to worship the government. We don't come here to worship one another or to worship anything else. I don't even come to worship a King James Bible like some people do. I come to worship God, the one that my King James Bible tells me about. Friends, salvation is still God's way. Worship is still according to God's plan in spirit and in truth. It's still God's way. Service is still according to God's direction and God's plan. It's still God's way. We got to remember that everything that we do, from the moment we prepare to come to the house of the Lord, needs to be to focus on giving God the glory that's due His name, allowing us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As you bow your heads tonight, wherever you might be, we just ask you tonight to search your heart and to ask yourself this question. Am I worshiping the right way? Am I worshiping for the right reason? Am I going about the motions that I go about to give honor and glory and praise unto God? Or is it all about me? Father, use your word tonight to touch our hearts and to draw us closer to you, that as we worship, Lord, we would do it the right way and do it for the right reason, to give glory unto you. Now, Father, we ask you to be with us until we come together again. We ask it tonight in your holy and precious name. We say amen. Don't forget to join us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Hopefully, Brother L will be with us on Wednesday evening. So you be much in prayer about Wednesday evening service, and come and join us again with a heart and a spirit of worship in the one who's worthy of our glory, honor, and praise. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.